Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 as we continue our discussions on spiritual warfare. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. And all of us are reading. Let's go. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's title our discussion, Authority for Warfare. Authority for Warfare. Jesus did not pretend about his mission when he was on earth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the B part, the second part says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus listed the works he came to destroy. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. See? He came to destroy poverty, to destroy captivity, destroy brokenheartedness, destroy oppression of the devil. And Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it was Peter speaking who said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. There's a huge conflict in the spiritual world. That conflict impacts on our physical world. Like we read last week from Revelation chapter 12, and I'd like to read it again. Revelation chapter 12, I'll read verses 7 to 12. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. There's a huge conflict in the spiritual world. God against Satan, Satan against God and all that belongs to God. And because man is essentially a spirit, he is a part of this conflict, whether he is conscious of it or not, and whether he is willing to be involved or not. Man is a spirit. As soon as God created man, Satan went after him. Whether you want to be a part of this war or not, you are in it. There is no discharge from this war, and there is no neutrality in this war. It's either you're on God's part or you're on Satan's part. But for the simple fact that God created you in his image, you are marked out. We are a part of this war. No wonder Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Job didn't know what hit him. And it was just because of a contest between God and Satan. God was bragging over Job, and Satan said, no, it's because you're treating him right, his life is okay. He will deny you if something went wrong. And God gave the permission. And Satan hit Job hard. He lost almost everything that he had, including his life, in one day. And he was trying to understand what the problem was. He was from the spiritual world. So that conflict and the big shift that happened in the realm of the spirit impacts on our circumstances on this planet. But the good news for us as believers is that we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. We have delegated authority from Christ to put Satan where he belongs, beneath our feet. Amen. When Jesus was here physically, he knew who he was, and he exercised his authority over Satan and over demons. And the good news is that he delegated that authority to his disciples. They exercised it, and they were terrorizing Satan. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Jesus delegated that authority for them to terrorize the devil, run him out of people's lives. In verse 8 there, it says that Jesus told them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So, we have delegated authority from Christ to exercise dominion over Satan. You remember Mark 16, verse 17? Jesus said, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. This is part and parcel of Christianity. The moment you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have crossed over to God's side. You are a soldier. You are an army, or you are part of an army. You are involved in warfare. And the good news is that Jesus has given you delegated authority, running the devil out of people's lives and out of situations, circumstances, and out of environments is part and parcel of your destiny in Christ. I love Luke chapter 10. In verse 1, Jesus called 70 of his disciples and sent them out two by two, just like in this instance. Let me read Luke 10, 17 to 19. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "If Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." I see you returning in joy. Amen. The joy of victory. Amen. The days of oppression are over. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Our destiny is to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It is not our destiny to be running around scared all over town, afraid of witches and wizards. It's cultural baggage. Yes. Our culture has believed in God for millennia. The only thing is the culture also believed in Satan. Practically equally. If you are not careful, you think God and Satan are two beings in the same class that are fighting. They're not. God created Satan, an angel, a messenger. Satan is a former employee of God who was sacked. The authority that he is using is delegated authority. It was God that gave him the authority. It's just that God has not withdrawn it. And he's perverted it and he's using it against God. Someday he will lose everything. But you see, if you are not careful, you know, all those cultural baggages just seep into your spirit and you don't realize you are glamorizing Satan. I grew up in the Yoruba culture that I grew up from, I heard over and over again, Satan is powerful. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Many people around here have tremendous faith in the power of Satan. Even when God, Christ, has given us authority to trample over serpents and scorpions, they are afraid to even put one leg over him. They're running all over town, afraid of witches and wizards. To hell with all the witches in this city. Yeah. When you understand how the spiritual world works, hear what Jesus said there. When the disciples came with joy, said, Master, even the demons were subject to us. They obeyed our voices. In your name, he said, leave the little demons. I saw Satan, their boss, fall as lightning from heaven. That's why you can run those small demons out of town. Don't be running all over town saying your landlady is a witch. That's why you have to run out. So if your next landlady is a witch, what will you do? Run from there again? Hello? These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out. Not they shall be cast out. They shall cast out demons. We have delegated authority from Christ to do exactly what he came to do, to continue his assignment. And that's to cast out devils. Big question is, are you using your authority? That's a big difference between when a police officer puts on his or her uniform and when he or she does not have the uniform on. When a police officer raises one hand to a trailer truck coming on the road, the truck stops when the police officer has the uniform on. Because that raise of hand, it's not just the police officer speaking. It's the authority behind the uniform. That's what Jesus meant when he said, in my name. Some people have been confused. They think it's in the number of times you call the name. They think what determines the efficacy of the name is the number of times you call it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Shut up. Answer this question. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? See, in Matthew chapter 8, you remember the military officer who spoke. Because in the Bible, he's called the centurion. The centurion was a military officer who had authority over a battalion of 100 soldiers. Centurion is century, 100, okay? And this man came to Jesus and said his servant was ill. Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. He said, no, don't come. Then he made a powerful statement in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. He said, speak the word only or give the order. My servant will be healed. He said, for I'm also a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. I understand how authority works. What the police officer uses by raising a hand is authority, not power. It is when you defy the authority that power kicks in. Power is the raw energy that enforces the authority. Okay? So the authority is just the measure of power behind the office or the role. So he said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this soldier, go. He goes. I tell this one, come. He comes. When you have authority with words, you can move things. You can make things happen. Okay, so he understood it. But he said, I'm a man under authority. And I have soldiers under me. When you're a rebel, you are not under authority. Nobody will be under your authority. Are you under the authority of Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Are you in Christ? The old you needs to die, a new you needs to resurrect, and that new you will be Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's no longer I that live, it is Christ in me. Satan will never be afraid of you, but he will forever be afraid of Christ in you. Amen. Are you under the authority of Christ? There were some guys in Acts chapter 19. They called them the seven sons of a man called Sceva. They saw Paul and other apostles running demons out of people's lives, and they also wanted to do it. So they said to a man who was demon-possessed, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, we command you, come out of this man. Then the demon spoke out through the man. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, who are you? What is your identity? I can't even see you on the radar. When you fight boxing, you fight your weight. Some people are featherweight, some are lightweight, some are middleweight, some are light heavyweight, some are heavyweight. You fight your size. What are you looking for in this arena? You don't even exist. Only Christ has the authority to talk to us, and you are not under authority. Why are you backing out others at bay? You know what the demon did? The Bible says that he leapt over the seven men, beat the daylight out of them, tore their clothes to pieces, and pushed them out on the street naked as a sign to people that they should not meddle in affairs that do not concern them. Hallelujah. It's not in the number of times you call the name. It's in the level of your submission to the owner of the name. In my name means in my stead. You are there is like I am there. When you say it, I'm the one saying it. Whatever cannot refuse me will not be able to refuse you, because it's not you, it's me. That's what it means. Are you under the authority of Christ? Secondly, if you have been born again, you have a relationship with Christ. Are you in right standing with Christ right now? Are you in right standing with Christ? We call that righteousness, being in right standing. We know that it is sin that causes a separation between us and God. And provision has been made in his word that when we make mistakes, we can confess our sins quickly and he can forgive our sins and restore us to our right standing. Remember what we read in Revelation chapter 12. In verse 10, it says that the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night. Accusation, that is Satan's specialization. Accusation, you are not qualified. You are not right. You are a sinner. You did this. You did that. If God will bless anybody, it can never be you because of the atrocities you have committed. You are a liar. You are a hypocrite. You know what you did yesterday? I will reveal your secret. If your pastor knew what you were doing, in fact, they will chase you away from that church now. And all, that's Satan's business. The accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night. He uses the tool of guilt to demobilize us, to paralyze our prayer lives, to make us feel disqualified before even approaching God. Now listen, when you don't have the confidence to stand before God, how will you stand before Satan? That's the power of righteousness. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says that the wicked man runs when no one is pursuing him. He said, but the righteous are as bold as what? As a lion. The lion does not turn away from any animal in the forest. Boldness. That's the result of righteousness. When you know you are in right standing with God, it gives you confidence. Gives you bold. I mean, you can stand before God. Who else can't you stand before? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. If you can stand before God, why can't you stand before man? If you can stand before God, then you can stand confidently before Satan also. Righteousness gives you boldness. One other word I like to use is the word fearlessness. You see the way Jesus dealt with Satan. Jesus was fearless when he was around. He was fearless before Satan, fearless before demons. And he was fearless before the consequences of sin. He was fearless before sicknesses and diseases, even fearless in the presence of death. That's righteousness. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 6 says, being ready to revenge every disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. See, when you are walking in obedience to God, you will lose fear for Satan. You will be ready to revenge every disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. Jesus always had confidence because he was in total obedience to God the Father. We need to walk in that fearlessness. We need to walk with that sense of authority. Once God has forgiven you your sins, your slate is wiped clean. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I remember as a young Christian how Satan was plaguing my mind, accusing me, harassing me. And one day I went into an empty classroom. I opened my Bible to Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. Put the Bible on the floor and I stood on it. I'm not recommending that as a doctrine. It was just that as a young Christian, I just got angry over that voice that I was hearing inside me that was tormenting me. Now opened the Bible and stood on it and said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I said, Satan, I'm free. I don't owe you anything. I mean, he was harassing me so much, in fact, telling me that I was demon possessed. I said, okay, even if there's a demon inside me, I command you, come out now. From today, I am free from you forever. You know, there's a level at which the pastors have to pamper you, help you, pray for you. And every time a demon harasses you, you run to a pastor. But there's a point where you come to your senses. You come to the point of maturity and you realize, as small as you think you are, God has given you authority over Satan. And you decide to take care of him yourself. Amen?
Amen.
In this time, that's the ultimate level of deliverance that we teach. The point at which you can take him on yourself. So if he likes, let him come in the middle of the night. Even when I am sleeping, I'm a terror to Satan. Because the authority that I carry is not on my physical body, it's on my spirit. And my spirit does not sleep. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen.
There's someone here today that said, turn around. If they were chasing you in your dreams before, today you will turn around and chase them.
Amen.
It's time for us to exercise our authority in Christ. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, he goes. I say to this one, come, he comes. From today, in the name of Jesus Christ, where you spoke and nothing happened, when you speak now, the spiritual world will move for your sake. Angels will move at the sound of your voice. Demons will be terrified at your presence.
Amen.
These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. The day I came into this city, I still remember clearly that I woke up in the middle. No, I had not even slept. I stayed awake till the middle of the night and then now prayed in the spirit to a point and stopped and spoke to Satan. I said, Prince of the devil over Lagos, hear me now. I have arrived because I'm conscious of the fact that it is the spiritual world that controls the physical. I said, I've arrived. I said, I did not send myself to this city. I flew in on the wings of the Holy Spirit. I have an announcement for you. This city cannot take the two of us. One of us will have to leave. And I said, and I'm glad to let you know, devil, you are the one. I will run you out of this city. Now, in the physical, I came into the city with nothing. I came with a traveling bag hung on my shoulder, a white shirt, brown trouser, and a pair of white shoes. Thank you. But that was in the physical. In the spiritual, I knew I was a terror. In the spiritual, I knew if Satan saw me, I was a ball of light rolling into the city. Amen.
Amen.
You have to move it in the spiritual before you can move it in the physical. There's someone here today. The days of being victimized are over.
Yeah.
As you walk out of here, you are walking out in victory.
Yeah.
Walking out in power.
Yeah.
Those devils that control the economy of the country, of the city, they are losing control over your life.
Yeah.
Listen, the situation of the country cannot be your excuse. The authority that you carry is superior to that of the federal government. Yes. Jesus lived in a country that was under colonization, yet he fulfilled his destiny. Pilate said, "Do you know I have authority over you?" Jesus said, "How will you have gotten if it was not given to you?" Temporarily, just so scripture can be fulfilled. What are you talking about? I've been living under a different economy. So there's someone here. You are delivered.
Amen.
From the limitations in the environment.
Amen.
Your destiny will be fulfilled.
Amen.
By the authority of heaven.
Amen.
You are part of a superior system.
Amen.
That system does not know poverty. God's system of government can never be broke, can never be poor. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen?
The design was for you to take authority from that dimension and to establish it in the physical here, to bring deliverance to the people around. From today, if you step into a bus, if there's a demon there, that demon will run out in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your head with me one moment and let's do the practicals. I want you to talk to God. If there is any sin, anything that you know would qualify you right now, can you pray to God and ask for forgiveness? 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2 1 says, "Little children, this I write, that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Anytime as a Christian you make a mistake, quickly ask for forgiveness. Jesus speaks on your behalf to God the Father, draws the Father's attention to the blood, reminds him the price has been paid, your sins are forgiven, your slate is wiped clean, your record is wiped clean. And then you get your righteousness restored back. You can take the devil on any moment. So let's receive forgiveness right now. Perhaps you don't even have a relationship with God yet, a personal relationship. You can say it right now, "I'm a child of God. I'm under the authority of Christ." You want to receive forgiveness of sins. Can you also ask him for forgiveness? It's a life-changing prayer. Satan loses the ground for harassing you forever. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The second part of our prayer, can you please stand to your feet with me? I want you to use that authority. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Today, you are going to, if they never had you before, you are going to register your voice in the realm of the Spirit. You and Christ alone are enough to take on Satan. So you are going to make declarations. "I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
I have authority in Christ.
I have authority in Christ.
To trample over serpents,
scorpions,
and over all the power of the enemy.
I
have a mandate from heaven
to cast out devils."
So Satan, this morning,
hear my voice.
The days of oppression are over. Go ahead and begin to speak in your own voice. "I declare my freedom from poverty. I declare my freedom from failure. I cast out every oppressing spirit in the name of Jesus. I have victory in Christ. It's in my destiny to cast out devils. Prince of the devil over Lagos, hear my voice. Prince of the devil over Nigeria, hear my voice. I am taking over every territory that belongs to me in Christ. I take over. My days of restoration are here. My days of fulfillment of prophecy are here. Satan, whatever you stole from me, bring it back. I take my health back. I take my peace back. I take my joy back. I take my promotion back. I take my money back in the name of Jesus." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. Yay! Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Because this morning the heavens are opened over everyone present in this service. Everyone watching on the internet, there's a fresh baptism of power. And as each one goes, Heavenly Father, let your presence go with them. Lord, each one goes in victory. When they speak, honor their words. As each one goes, Lord, cause them to displace territorial spirits and to take over territories with a new level of authority. As they say it, so let them see it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I prophesy a season of restoration. Restoration of visions. Restoration of destiny. Restoration of relationships. Restoration of favor. Restoration of promotion. Restoration of health. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone said a powerful amen there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps, yes, while we were praying, you knew it, that you didn't have a relationship with God, you were not under the authority of Christ, and you were praying for forgiveness of sins. You want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The price that he paid on the cross, you've accepted, now he paid on your behalf. I want to say a prayer for you. Can you please put your hand on your heart? My lifestyle has not been right with God. I came in here a sinner. I'm receiving forgiveness from God today for my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I'd like to say a short 1 minute prayer with you. Say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for everyone who is standing. And we know, Heavenly Father, that their sins are forgiven. And we thank you because the nature of sin is removed from them. And there's a miracle of change in their lives today. In Jesus' name.